It's time to eat.
Get in my belly.
Sit down and get ready to consume an abundance of fantasy football knowledge from Ross Tucker and Evan Silva.
Me so hungry.
On the Fantasy Feast Eatin' Podcast.
Yeah, let's eat, baby. It is part two of the show that's so nice. We do it twice. The Fantasy Feast Eatin' Podcast. Why are we the best fantasy podcast in the business? Well, very simply, because we got Rain Man over here, Evan Silva. Nobody has more fantasy football knowledge in that brain of theirs than Evan from Roto World. Check him out on Twitter. I love even your retweets, Evan, are good. At Evan Silva. I'm Ross Tucker, former NFL offensive lineman that loves the podcast game. We got the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, the Even Money that I'm up 30-plus units. So is Steve Fezzik. So if you like money, you should be listening to the Even Money Podcast. Get on the gravy train. We've also got the college draft if you want to start to learn about the college studs for Dynasty and such, as well as, but of course, the Business of Sports Podcast. We're presented by betonline.ag. It's the online gaming website of choice for Evan and I for the Fantasy Beast Podcast with the best odds and fast payouts. If you want the Madden, get the SeatGeek app on your phone. Put Ross in the settings tab. Email me, ross@rostucker.com. You're automatically entered. Enough said. Let's do this, Evan. All right, Evan. Let's start the late games like we always do here in part two. It's Dallas. It's San Francisco. And it appears at least for the next 2 weeks and likely for the rest of the year, Zeke is back. And I'm sorry, Evan. You can't tell me that this constant, you know, Wayne's World, game on, game off, that hasn't had some impact on him and his teammates. It's just, I know we control, and we anticipate him being able to play. I don't care. If it's in the news all the time and you say, oh, he's not allowed to play, oh, now he's able to play, it's definitely something you're thinking about and a distraction.
So I think that's a good point. And I also wanted to bring up the topic because the Cowboys are going to be a major target for daily fantasy this week. People are going to want to play Zeke. You know, they're going to come up with a narrative like angry Zeke. You know, he's angry. He's going to go run all over the 49ers. And he may. I mean, he very well may. But people are going to want to play Cowboys. Dak, Dez Bryant, you know, maybe even Jason Witten. But this is a team coming off the bye. Now, last week, if you look at the teams coming off the bye, and this is a one-week sample. I'm very aware that it's not a big sample. Falcons coming off the bye get upset as 2-touchdown favorites at home. Same deal with the Broncos. The worst effort I have seen by any team all year. Brandon McManus's kicks in that game. I mean, it looked like there was a guy in the stands with a clay shooter gun, and he was shooting Brandon McManus's kicks out of the friggin' air. That was very, very tilting. Their game plan was crap, you know, et cetera. They were sleeping out there. Also, the Redskins squeaked out a 2-point win when they were favored by like 12 against the 49ers and almost let C.J. Beathard, the third-round rookie, comes in, you know, cold off the bench. He almost rallies the 49ers back to an upset win. And then the Saints, now they had a great offensive effort, all in all, but they almost blew, what were they up like 45-10? They almost blew that. So what do you think about, because we've talked about this, what is your take on teams coming off the bye? You know, again, I used to always think that it was just a good thing, but as I've, you know, come to like investing like money into this, you know, like from a sports betting and a daily fantasy standpoint, I don't always view teams coming off the bye as a positive. What is your take on that all in all?
I've been a part of it both ways, where we came back and played really well after it, where we came back and played really poorly after it. I don't know that there's a rhyme or reason. You do get out of your routine. You know, you get the weekend off the weekend before and guys go back home and they're kind of out of their routine. The other thing is the coach's self-scout. And so that should be good, but you know, sometimes there's a little bit too much time on their hands, and maybe you come back and they try to do too many different things or new things. And think about it logically, right? You have time off, so you self-scout. Well, we should do this better. We should do this more. We're not doing this. So then you come back and you try those things, but you might be wrong. Like, you might, your self-scout and what you think the answers are after the self-scout might not be accurate. And so then you try them the next week and it doesn't go well.
Yeah, so that's why it's, you know, so valuable to have, you know, an actual NFL player on here, you know, talking about this stuff. And, you know, we can, I mean, that's a great conversation, and people, no one talks about this. No one talks about this. So we will continue to bring it up for teams coming off the bye. With all that said, I mean, you know, Dak Prescott's one of my favorite fantasy plays on the week. The 49ers, they gave up the quarterback 1 week to quarterback overall 1 week to Kirk Cousins last week. They've given up 290-plus passing yards to four straight quarterbacks. They have allowed the most plays in the league per game to opposing offenses, 70.8 per game. That means that the opposing offense is getting more play volume and therefore can put more stuff into the box score, and we love that in fantasy football. Angry Zeke, you know, fire him up. Eric Armstead went on IR for the 49ers, one of the 49ers' top run stuffers, broken hand. He will be out at least 8 weeks. Dez, I think should really, really rip this up. The 49ers have allowed the fifth most receptions and sixth most yards to opposing wide receivers. Dez Bryant has a touchdown in three of his last four games. He has not had a truly monster game yet, but it's coming, and I think that it is going to come this week. The 49ers have done a great job of containing tight ends this year. They shut down Greg Olsen early in the season, Jimmy Graham, Rams tight ends. Jermaine Gresham didn't do anything against them. Jack Doyle didn't do anything against them. Jordan Reed last week, four catches for 37. And a big reason for that is Jaquiski Tartt, second or third year safety, having a breakout year for the 49ers. Now, he did get banged up last week. So, he's a guy to look for on the injury report as like a guy who tilts the matchup for the tight end. And that could, you know, I think that Jason Witten is an okay play either way, but I think that he will become more attractive if Jaquiski Tartt does not play. Cole Beasley scored two touchdowns in the Cowboys' pre-bye win over the Packers. That was his first touchdown in 11 games dating back to last season. He's gone 10 straight games without reaching 50 yards. So I'm not really looking to chase Cole Beasley. And then Terrence Williams is just a roadblock in front of Bryce Butler at this point. Ross made a joke the other day, about my boy Terrence Williams. People thought he was people just don't get it. You know, they just don't get it. Bryce Butler needs to be playing over Terrence Williams. 49ers turning to C.J. Beathard. Man, I mean, I love it. I like C.J. Beathard. He played at Iowa. He has a really strong arm. He had the second fastest ball velocity among any quarterback measured at the combine. Underrated athlete. He had six rushes for 85 yards and a touchdown on the ground in the preseason. Ripped a 14-yard scramble last week. He had a long run in the preseason. He was an effective scrambler at Iowa. Just a scrappy player with underrated tools. And if you remember that Peter King story that came out after the NFL draft, Kyle Shanahan, this was apparently the only quarterback in this draft that Kyle Shanahan wanted. And compare him to kind of Kirk Cousins. But, I mean, I think that C.J. Beathard, just from a purely from a tool standpoint, I think C.J. Beathard may even have better tools than Kirk Cousins. I'm excited to see him in the George Kittle connection. George Kittle is a real thing. He's an every week fantasy starter, top 10 option at this point. C.J. Beathard and George Kittle, of course, played together at Iowa. And these quarterback pass catcher connections are real, and they are something to invest in. Pierre Garçon. Okay, so C.J. Beathard comes off the bench last week. Pierre Garçon sees eight targets, most on the team. George Kittle and Carlos Hyde tie for second with six apiece. Pierre Garçon should be good to go against the Cowboys. Really nothing to fear about their secondary, and like to see that, you know, that rookie new quarterback come in and heavily target the that number one receiver. So that makes you feel a little bit more comfortable. Carlos Hyde bounced back from getting benched in week five to out-touch Matt Breida 18-6 last week and out-snap him 78% to 24%. So Carlos Hyde should be good to go. I mean, the Cowboys in their last four games have given up 4.7 yards per carry to opposing running backs. They have also allowed the NFL's 12th most receiving yards to the position, despite having an early bye. I think that takes care. Yeah, that takes care of both of those teams.
Curious to get your thoughts on Bengals Steelers. We got Bengals Steelers, and Steelers look better against the Chiefs. Le'Veon went off. Antonio went off. They still didn't score that many points, by the way, but they both went off. Antonio Brown kind of had a really lucky touchdown that gave him 50 yards and a touchdown. But at any rate, why don't you start with the Steelers?
So Joe Goodberry, really good, really sharp Bengals analyst, has written articles about this in the past. And, I mean, it's proven very predictive over the years. And it may actually apply to a lot of quarterbacks, and just people haven't looked into it. But it is certainly applied with Andy Dalton that he tends to perform less or worse against common opponents. And then he will perform much better against uncommon opponents. And how Joe Goodberry characterizes common opponents is, I believe, teams that he's either played in the past year or are obviously in the division. And the Steelers are obviously in the division. I actually think that this is a good game for the Steelers defense. The Steelers are second in the league in sacks. I think they probably got dropped recently in a lot of leagues. I think you pick them back up and you start them. Yeah, I mean, I'm in a league where I saw that they got dropped, and I actually picked them up this morning. I'll be using them this week as a streamer. I don't really want any part of Andy Dalton, even though the arrow is sort of pointed up since Bill Lazor took over as OC. I do think that Joe Mixon is a solid RB2 play this week since Bill Lazor took over, 19 touches per game, 53% of the snaps. He's also taken over the team lead in carries inside the 10-yard line and inside the 5 from Jeremy Hill. So that is going to obviously increase the scoring potential for Joe Mixon. Since Bill Lazor took over, Giovanni Bernard has 5, 6, and 4 touches in those three games, and Jeremy Hill has 8, 7, and 4. So you can't use either of those guys, even as flex plays. Steelers have been great in pass defense this year, but they've also faced one of the easiest roads in terms of opponent quarterback play. So you have to kind of take it with a grain of salt. I'm going to continue to bet on A.J. Green in this game. We've talked about his road game splits extensively for the past several years. And it's a big enough sample that I think we just accept it. We don't really argue, home road, whatever. It's a really, really big difference. I mean, he averages almost 7 catches per game for 97 yards in his career in road games. And at home, he averages 4.7 catches for 71 yards. So that's a pretty big difference. He also averages about a quarter more touchdowns per game on the road. It doesn't mean that you don't play him at home, obviously, but it's a significant data point that we can look at and help better our decision-making process when it comes to AJ Green as a daily fantasy play. He's an awesome one this week. Since Bill Lazor took over, AJ Green seeing 11 targets per game, 121 yards per game. Don't want anything to do with any of the other Bengals pass catchers, and that's another reason to like AJ Green, is because LaFell's out there, but he's not doing anything. Tyler Kroft had one decent game against the Browns. He's not really doing anything. The slot receivers, they're rotating, they're hurt, whatever. They're not doing anything. For the Steelers, nothing really stands out to me about Ben Roethlisberger. He hasn't been a top 20 fantasy quarterback since week 2. The Bengals are, where are they? I think they're top 5 in DVOA against the pass. So we don't have good production from Ben Roethlisberger, and we don't have a good matchup for Ben Roethlisberger. So I, you know, he's a guy who at this point, like, he needs to prove it to me before I use him. I would start Tyrod Taylor over him this week. Le'Veon Bell, sure enough, the Steelers commit to this dude and they get wins. And last week he set season highs in yards per touch, yards per carry, rushing yards, put the offense on his back. He should again be the offensive centerpiece against Cincinnati. The Bengals have also allowed the sixth most catches to opposing running backs. I should say that Le'Veon Bell's mammoth workloads, I think, make James Conner worth rostering pretty much everywhere, and I'm going to keep talking about this every week. I think you put him on your bench in season-long leagues because he's got a lot of upside if something happens to Le'Veon Bell, because Le'Veon Bell's getting more usage because it increases his injury risk. And, you know, that has been proven through data at Injury Predictor. And, you know, that's just reality. I hope he doesn't get hurt. I have him on fantasy teams. But he's at enhanced risk of injury. James Conner has been very rough around the edges, blew a bad blitz protection a couple of weeks ago. But he has given them some explosive runs off the bench. So, you know, again, worth rostering everywhere. Antonio Brown, the Bengals have kind of held him in check. If you look at his last four games against that team, hasn't reached 90 yards in any of them, only scored in one out of the four. Doesn't really bother me, though. You know, it's Antonio Brown. He's our Jerry Rice. The rest of the Steelers pass catchers, there's really just no commitment to feeding them the ball. I mean, if you look at Ben Roethlisberger's target distribution over the course of the season, Antonio Brown has 74 targets. He's leading the NFL in targets by 9. And then second on the team is Le'Veon Bell. And then it's a bunch of guys splitting. Martavis Bryant, Jesse James, Juju Smith-Schuster, Eli Rogers got more involved last week. Vance McDonald got more involved last week. There's nobody you can really trust here. I would say that the best bet, I think, at this point would be Juju Smith-Schuster. However, there's also a possibility that with these trade rumors about Martavis Bryant, like, the Steelers do something like they try to get, you know, go out of their way to try to get the ball to Martavis this week. Like, that is not something that I think is unreasonable to suggest might happen. With that said, I would not feel very comfortable starting Martavis Bryant. I do think I own him in, I think, two season-long leagues, and I think I probably will start him, but not with a high level of confidence, and that takes care of those teams.
Bang, and another one. Let's keep it going, and let's go to Denver and the Chargers. Pretty surprised that the Chargers are favored in this one. That tells you something about something. They've gotten two wins in a row. Broncos, as you referenced, were awful on Friday night, or I'm sorry, Sunday night. There's no question about it. I'll let you start wherever you want to start.
I think that it's not really, you know, a great matchup at all for the Chargers. Any way you slice it, Phillip Rivers has been a top 12 fantasy quarterback in 5 of 6 games, and he was a top 12 fantasy quarterback in week one against the Broncos, but only threw for, I think, 192 yards. So he's really on the fringe and a guy that I would be looking to stream quarterbacks over this week. Melvin Gordon has really gotten it going over the past couple of games. Still super inefficient as a rusher, but when you get 26 and 34 touches, that does not matter. He's got 163 and 150 total yards over the last two games, 4 combined touchdowns. He's now 8th in the NFL among running backs in carries, and he's 4th in receptions. So, you know, the Broncos have a great run defense, but they also just got exposed by Orleans Darkwa. You know, LeSean McCoy and Ezekiel Elliott can't run on the Broncos, but apparently Orleans Darkwa can. That provides some optimism for Melvin Gordon. Keenan Allen in that week one game we mentioned was able to squeak out 5 catches for 35 yards and a touchdown. I think that's what you're hoping for again. this week against the Broncos. Just it's not a good matchup. I mean, no wide receiver on the season has reached 65 yards in a game against Denver secondary this season. Tyrell Williams is essentially unusable. They're basically sharing perimeter usage between Tyrell Williams and Travis Benjamin. And then rookie Mike Williams made his debut last week. He only saw one target on 17% of the snaps, but that just takes away usage from the other guys and makes them, lowers their floors and ceilings. And so you can't put a lot of stock into those perimeter receivers, and certainly not against the Broncos. I continually get these questions about, like, should I stash Mike Williams? Like, in what scenario is this guy going to be good in fantasy? That's really hard for me to imagine. I think that Keenan Allen is the locked-in number one. Hunter Henry is the locked-in number two. You can attack the Broncos with tight ends. We saw Evan Ingram. He was just the latest to do it. Hunter Henry, his usage is right where we want it to be. It was last week. We were very high on him, and he paid dividends, made a bunch of big plays, 90 yards, 5 catches. Got tackled at the friggin' 1-yard line, and Melvin Gordon gets the touchdown. But, that's life, man. That's fantasy football. That's real football. It's a game of inches. The Broncos, so it is concerning, very much so, that the Broncos are now a three-way running back committee, because Devontae Booker has busted into this backfield, and people don't like Devontae Booker, but they conveniently forget that he was really good in the first half of last season. And then when CJ Anderson went down, I don't maybe he was pressing or whatever, but he was like he had been on the verge of overtaking CJ Anderson. And then CJ Anderson got hurt, and I mean, it was like, fire the cannons, but it just didn't happen for him. But he is he's a really good receiving back, and they're going to use him. I mean, he played more snaps last week than Jamaal Charles did, and the game flow certainly had something to do with that. But they're going to use all three of these backs, and that is concerning. I think C.J. Anderson is still worthy of playing as an RB2 against the Chargers. They do not have a good run defense, 5.2 yards per carry allowed to opposing RBs. They're a pass funnel. We don't want to mess around with Trevor Siemian this week. Certainly not without Emmanuel Sanders. So I think that C.J. Anderson, he still makes sense as an RB2, but we're starting to get concerned about him for sure. I would expect Casey Hayward to chase around Demaryius a lot. But guess what? Demaryius Thomas had his best game of the season last week, getting chased around by Janoris Jenkins. Saw 14 targets. And with Emmanuel Sanders out, that is very good news for Demaryius. And we talk about Casey Hayward, he doesn't shadow on every play. He may do it, 65, 70, 75% of the time, but that's his own defense, coached by Gus Bradley, and Casey Hayward is not going to be on Demaryius every single play. And then whenever Casey Hayward is not on Demaryius, Trevor Siemian will be looking right at him. So really no concerns ultimately about the Casey Hayward thing. I always think that cornerback matchups are worth talking about, but in the end, you want to bet on your good players because the coaches design the offense to get the ball to the good players. And certainly there are situations where, Patrick Peterson is on your guy, and you're very concerned about that. But we also want to, examine the extent of how much these guys actually do shadow, and Casey Hayward does not shadow every single play. The rest of the Broncos pass catcher core is rounded out by Jordan Taylor, a dude who I've always really liked in the preseason, 6'4", 209, 4.52 wheels. He's got that Kobe Fleener blonde hair, flowing out the back. He's a little bit of a sleeper this week, I think. I think he can play. And then another deeper sleeper would be Benny Fowler, the Broncos slot receiver. And then A.J. Derby. Although the Chargers have been great against tight end, shut down Travis Kelce, Julius Thomas, Evan Ingram had that zero catch game against them. Last week, Jared Cook held to 2 for 14. So not really a week that I'm excited about A.J. Derby, but Jordan Taylor, I think, and Benny Fowler are in the mix as dart throws, and that takes care of that game.
The next game up is the Seattle Seahawks coming off the bye and the New York Giants with a new offensive line. And I'm curious to hear what you have to say about Orleans Darkwa going against the Seattle run defense.
Yeah. He's a two-down banger. I mean, he's not going to catch any passes. But the Seahawks have been a run funnel. I mean, they're giving up 4.8 yards per carry to opposing RBs. I do think they'll get better over the course of the season. But I think, like, in a non-PPR league, Darkwa makes sense as a play this week. He dominated snaps and touches in the backfield last week. You know, Shane Vereen had one touch. Darkwa had 22. Wayne Gallman had 11. I mean, you know, he's not really someone who excites me, but he's a fine play this week. Only four wideouts so far this year have cleared 70 yards against the Seahawks. You know, I'm not trying to start any of these receivers for the Giants. You know, maybe Sterling Shepard magically heals up, but even then, I would want to give him a week after that injury just to see what he's got. You know, I don't want to run into situations where he could aggravate it during the game, or, you know, just play less than we anticipate. So whenever he comes back, he's going to be a wait and see guy in that first week, and then we can reevaluate him after that. Evan Engram is the only usable passing game member on the Giants, and he's a good one. He ripped up the Broncos last week. The Seahawks gave up 6 catches for 59 to Colts tight ends in week 5. In week 4, they did not play last week. And then in week 5, which would be their last game, they gave up 5 catches for 106 to the Rams tight ends. Tyler Higbee broke through in that game against Seattle. And Evan Engram, I think, can parlay that momentum into another big game. He is an every-week fantasy starter. Every week, you know, a guy that you want to look at in daily fantasy. Russell Wilson has been all over the place with his production behind that O-line. You know, maybe, quote-unquote, coming out of the bye, they'll get their O-line fixed, although they did lose their left guard, Luke Jekyll, to knee surgery. I don't know if that's a good or bad thing. You know, for the performance of the offensive line, but you know, Russell Wilson is just a boom bust player until he shows that he's any different. I think it is worth noting that 4 of the 6 quarterbacks to face the Giants have posted top 12 finishes, including each of the last 3. Trevor Siemian, of course, he got there with, you know, 54 dropbacks or something last week, but he was a quarterback 9 last week. The week before that, Philip Rivers was a quarterback 8. At the Giants, Jameis Winston the week before that was quarterback 7. So I'm using Russell Wilson in season long. I think he'll be very low owned in daily fantasy tournaments this week. And I think if you're going to play him in daily fantasy tournaments, you play him with Jimmy Graham. You know, we talk about it all the time. They get smashed by tight ends. The Giants, every single week, man, they're going to get smashed by tight ends. The running back core is just, I'm throwing my hands up. Don't have any takes. The only take I would say is that I think everyone should be trying to stash CJ Procise in season long. I think he is the answer for this backfield. I have no idea if he's going to suddenly get better injury luck, but he is, you know, I think he's the best stash, highest upside play in this RB core. Dominic Rodgers-Cromartie coming back makes life a little bit tougher on Doug Baldwin, but I'm sticking with him in season long. Tyler Lockett and Paul Richardson are the players on the outside, but because Tyler Lockett runs more routes in the slot, he's more likely to avoid Janoris Jenkins. So if I'm deciding between those two this week, I am going with Tyler Lockett over Paul Richardson.
I love it. All right, let's get to the night games then. Really wanted to get your thoughts on this. It looks like it should be a good one for a lot of different reasons, a lot of different fantasy dudes. Falcons, Patriots, Sunday night. Although Falcons offense, as we feared, is not quite what it was back in the Shanahan days.
Yeah, I mean, And while that's fair, they're playing the Patriots. So fire the cannons. Matt Ryan, Julio Jones. I wouldn't want to use Sanu, but it does look like he's going to come back. That's going to make Taylor Gabriel a little bit less attractive. Same with Austin Hooper. But I mean, this game has a 55-point total. You know, we can talk about the coaches all we want. We're just using guys in this game on both sides. You know, I guess, you know, just situations to talk about. The Patriots running backs. Mike Gillisley, he loses a fumble last week. He hasn't helped their offense at all. He hasn't even been very good in short yardage situation since that fluky three-touchdown game in week one. I don't know if Burkhead's going to be back this week, but Deion Lewis looks like the best option in their backfield, and he's seen, in order, 5, 9, and 11 touches over his last three games. He's actually getting more work inside the 10-yard line than Mike Gillisley is at this point, and he's been more effective. So I think that Deion Lewis is like a sleeper flex play this week. I'm in you know, in one of my high-stakes leagues, I think I'm going to be using him as a flex this week. I'm sticking with Julio. Don't, you know, just got the blinders on at this point. I'm betting on him against the Patriots. They have gotten smashed just incessantly by opposing receivers, and he's got the squeaky wheel narrative. I mean, Dan Quinn was, like, calling out Sarkisian for not getting him the ball enough. That's going to happen in this game. I think Tevin Coleman is very playable as a flex. I think that if Kyle Shanahan were still the OC, one thing that he would do is he would run Tevin Coleman right at those Patriots linebackers. Those Patriots linebackers are not good, and they could be exploited with Tevin. Tevin also has really strong road game splits. Chris Hogan had a slow game last week by his standards. Brady just missed him for what would have been a really long gain and potential touchdown. That's going to happen. I think Danny Amendola is pretty much in every week PPR wide receiver 3/flex. Brandon Cooks has a ton of yards, hasn't scored a lot of touchdowns, but you know, I'm starting him every week, and that takes care of that game.
The final game I will be on the sideline for. I get three games this weekend, actually. Friday night, Princeton-Harvard, huge game in the Ivy League. Sunday, Saints-Packers, and then Monday night, Eagles-Redskins. We do know that Jonathan Allen, the D lineman for the Redskins, out for the year. Why don't we start with the Redskins and what you think about them on the road against this Eagles defense?
Yeah, I have not gotten to this game yet, so I mean, I like it when I first glance at it, but I really haven't broken it down extensively. Kirk Cousins has been great in fantasy for a sustained period. The Eagles have been a pass funnel, giving up huge games to fantasy quarterbacks, but shutting down the run, that actually kind of plays into Washington's hands. Chris Thompson is the best option in the backfield, like bar none, for the Redskins, and it seems like the Redskins are really starting to realize that. Wide receivers against the Eagles are always good in good spots. However, you know, it's just been kind of this target distribution has been all over the place with Terrell Pryor and Ryan Grant, Chris Thompson, Jordan Reed, Vernon Davis. You know, it's just they have so many weapons that I didn't even mention Josh Doctson. They have so many Jamison Crowder. I mean, they have so many weapons that it's going to limit these guys. And I think Terrell Pryor, at this point, you downgrade him to like a wide receiver 4/flex play. You know, with that said, again, you know, when he's facing the Eagles, like, you got to upgrade him. And then the rest of the guys are just, you're kind of on your own. I mean, the ball is going to go in a lot of different places, you know, and a lot of these guys like share time with each other. And so that creates, it's not that these guys suck. You know, the offense is good. The offense is like rolling. Kirk's the guy to own. And so you know, that's just the way that it is, and we're going to have to deal with it. I mean, that's how this offense is. On the other side, Wentz, baller, you know, stardom against the Redskins. Blunt has been the best back, although it looks like Smallwood is back this week. That will be a concern. Eagles. Is Josh Norman coming back? I don't know.
No. Norman. Okay. Josh Norman is not going to play in the game. Okay. Neither will Jonathan Allen. I don't know about Robert Kelly for the Redskins, but they have not been able to run the ball very well. For the Eagles.
By the way, Jordan Hicks got hurt last week against the Panthers. Eagles middle linebacker, and Bashaud Breeland suffered a sprained MCL. And Bashaud Breeland has been playing great this year. He's the Redskins' right corner. So it's just a kind of hard game to talk about, you know, because a lot of stuff I just don't know, and I can't really talk about it on Wednesday morning.
Well, guess what? That's why you have your matchup column, right?
Correct.
I love it. We will check out the matchup column a little bit later on in the week. Terrific stuff, Evan, as always. Now that we have all of that knowledge, Bri, what do you think people should do with it?
They should go take advantage of the sponsor that you're about to talk about.
Yes, which clearly you don't even know. I love it. The sponsor I'm talking about, Bri, is the Draft app. It's 1 week or daily fantasy, whatever you call it, but it's a snake draft instead of a salary cap draft. Here's the coolest parts in my mind. You get to play for free just by using the code FEAST. Plus, they actually have a money-back guarantee up to $100. So if you're one of those people that's never downloaded the app and tried it, or you've never tried daily fantasy or one-week fantasy, they're giving you $100 back if you don't like it. And this isn't like some offshore thing that you're concerned about. No. It's the Draft app. It's awesome. The promo code's FEAST, though. You got to use the promo code FEAST. Just search Draft in your app store, or you can go to the website, draft.com. Come play free right now with promo code FEAST. That'll do it for both Fantasy Feast Eaton podcast this week. What a blast. Evan is amazing. So are those of you that are awesome and give us the retweets and the likes on Facebook and Twitter. You guys are awesome as well. Again, at Ross Tucker NFL, or just do the podcast handle, at RTF Podcast, or just retweet when Evan tweets it. No, I'm just going to like it. I'm not going to retweet it. Dudes, retweet it. Be a man. Step up. iTunes rankings, comments, always appreciated. And I mean that. You are all awesome. If you want to contribute in an extra special way, of course, the Amazon or the PayPal links at rostucker.com or any of our awesome sponsors. It's all good. I'm stuffed. That was a two-part meal. I think we're done here.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Feast Podcast. Make sure to also subscribe to the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, Even Money, and the College Draft Podcast, all available on iTunes at rostucker.com or wherever podcasts can be found.
So I've been telling you guys about TrueCar for a while now, and what's amazing about it is as soon as my wife said, honey, I need to get a new car, I said, TrueCar. Because they have the information on anything that's been sold in your area. Think about it. 3 million cars sold, over 13,000 dealers, over 700,000 pre-owned vehicles available, average savings of over $3,000 off MSRP. Using TrueCar, you can easily find the car you want. And here's the key. TrueCar will show you what other people in your area paid for the car you want. Now you know what a fair price is, so you can feel confident. Before we even started looking, she was looking at Explorers, Tahoes. I said, hey, look at TrueCar, and you can find out exactly what other people have paid in the area. It is awesome. TrueCar customers are more likely to enjoy a faster buying process when they connect with TrueCar certified dealers. Plus, TrueCar users save an average of over $3,000 off MSRP. When you're ready to buy, visit TrueCar to enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Some features not available in all states.